All right, if we all come in, we're all going to enter into the space here. And as a means of entrance, if you'll all stand with me, we're going to begin with a reading from Revelation, my grandfather's favorite book, chapter 7, verses 9 through 14a. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and honor and glory and wisdom and thanks and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in the white robes, who are they and where do they come from?" And I answered, "Sir, you know." You may be seated. "Sir, you know." The elder asks and the revelator answers. If we're honest, we all know who the great multitude is made of. They're the ones who have endured and washed their robes clean by the blood of the Lamb. Servants of the Most High God, the ones who clung to Jesus, the old ship of Zion, when all others failed. Jim was one such member of the multitude who stood with Christ through all of life's circumstances. His mark upon this congregation is indelible, and his legacy is far-reaching. Many people will tell you stories about him today, but I would like to begin by describing my grandfather as the greatest theologian and witness of Christ that I have ever known, a man of study and teaching. He spent many years educating adults and youth here in this congregation. From the Falls Family Life Center, if you can believe originally a classroom, to 13B upstairs, to the fellowship hall, to the upper room behind the baptistry. He taught scripture to anyone with an ear to hear. To read the Bible with my grandfather was a spiritual experience in which one truly saw and encountered the God who lives inside and outside of scripture. Grandpa taught me the simplest but most difficult aspect of our faith. God is love. In my youth, I'm not always sure I understood this wild extrovert of a man. He spent a lot of time taking my sister and I back and forth from practices to dance lessons, to church, to home, to grandpa and grandma's house, and then back again. When something needed to be done, my grandfather would rush over and help if he could. Now, he was never really able to do much of anything, particularly change light bulbs, but he'd sit there with you while you did it, and he'd take you out to lunch afterward in celebration. He used to walk me and my friends to school when it was right up the hill from our house. He took countless numbers of people back and forth from church over the years. But his love wasn't just manifest in these ways. At times, it seemed my grandfather's love could be counterproductive to my childlike mind. In fact, there were some times that I wondered if my grandfather really loved me more than anyone else. He used to come to my school, and he didn't come to visit me. He came to read with children who struggled with reading. He used to have other people's kids come over to my grandparents' home and play with the toys he and grandma had got for my sister and I. He and my grandmother adopted Zhenya Bailey and Julia Grasham as grandchildren. He was particularly sensitive to children with autism and those whom society tends to ostracize for their difference. He even struggled to learn Spanish for the sake of my aunt so that she could feel more comfortable. I didn't understand some of those things. You see, I had been taught to be strong and independent and suspicious of new types of people. But Jim never let those things get in the way of loving those. His lesson to me, as I've come to realize, was this. He had more than enough love for me and everyone else in his life. Did you know, he never once asked me why I had brown-skinned friends. He never once criticized people of other faiths. He never demanded that people speak his language for his own convenience. As I've grown older, I've begun to realize how much of a blessing it has been to have a grandfather who loved recklessly, much like Christ, even when it wasn't popular. I hope he's proud when I do it too. In the form of two wonderful sons, two amazing daughters-in-law, six fabulous grandchildren, two fabulously adopted grandchildren, and a wife of 57 years, my grandfather has left quite an incredible legacy. However, if his legacy were to be limited to just that, I would not be properly introducing him. Did you know that the ancient church, when they designed buildings, they were designed like ships? Look around you in this building. Can you see the ribbing of our ship from the trusses? Did you know that my grandfather, along with Jim Feldman and Harold Carpenter, amongst many others who have passed, helped put these trusses up that you see? Jim is even now supporting us as we sit here without him, and he is doing it with the final aspect of his legacy. You all gathered here. You, and yes, Matt, even you, are Jim's legacy too. The great multitude includes all of us. My grandpa planted some seeds, watered others, and helped to grow a beautiful garden of community here. We are all part of his legacy, part of his life. And we keep his life alive when we live with reckless, nay, with courageous love, like he did. My grandfather will always be here, because the church is both present and absent. The communion of saints, the mighty cloud of witnesses, stands here with us too. And they dry our tears, and they hold our hands as we honor one of our own. Truly, I can see in this space that there is a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Oh, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. Sing with me if you know. And I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Heavenly Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for each blessing, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we will be revived when we shall leave this place. The sweet, sweet spirit is in this place. Now, with introductory remarks out of the way, we will now enter into a time of sharing with one another. I invite anyone who has anything to say about my grandfather, to my grandmother, and to our family, if you would please raise your hand. Michael and David will have microphones, and we will take turns. One side will get a chance, and the other side will get a chance. And at our time of conclusion, our dear brother Harold will close us out and finish with a prayer. As we enter into this space, I pray that you may feel the sweet, sweet spirit of my grandfather.
First. Well, I will prime the pump with a story myself. How about that? First thing I want to say to Jim is, this is his grandkid. Doesn't it just make you proud? Well done. The story I have for Jim is, when I first got here, I was invited to something they called the Old Codgers over at Harold's house. And I wasn't an old codger, but they invited me to join with them. And, you know, it's just passing the buck, talking about stuff, life, ministry, whatever's going on in life. And I think one of the reasons they lured me in was they wanted to target me with some questions, like, where are you going with the church and what's your thoughts? And early in my time here, and I forget the topic. I don't even remember exactly what Jim said, but it was the way he said it that really stuck with me. They were asking these kind of questions, and here I am, this younger man taking the reins of a church and leading it, and I could see the on the face. And I remember something that the way that Jim said to me, something to the effect of, well, it's time to pass the buck to the next generation. And that's what I wanted, but I don't think I was quite ready for the impact it made when he said it. And also, keep in mind, Jim is a masterful teacher. And if you know much about masterful teachers, they know all the answers. There tends to be, in my experience of really good teachers, a sense of, well, we'll hear your opinion, then I'll tell you the right one. That's normally what happens. I didn't get any of that from Jim Hogan. I got a sense of, okay, well, this is what we're going to have to do, and I'm going to be praying about where you're headed, and this is important, and God's got this, and God's got you, and it's all going to be okay. Whether I agree or disagree is irrelevant, because this is God's work. And I felt that vibe off of him very strongly. I was very blessed by that, and it sticks with me to this day. So, who's first?
Sorry, not used to speaking to people. But Jim and Donna have been Julia and my grandparents for pretty much all our life here in Ohio and in the States. We were adopted, so. And they were the best, still are, teachers, life example, best people in the world. And my parents, grandparents, Jim and Donna always been there for us, and I hope you guys know you're loved. And Jim was always quiet, but he was always good at giving a good life lesson, but very delicately in a way. And he was great at listening too. And he's the best grandparents we had. So, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Jenny.
When I think of Jim Hogan, I think of immediately a sense of humor. He had a great one, and he always had perfect timing when he would bring some levity into a situation when it needed to be brought in. And I remember sitting in his classes, and there were times that he said things that maybe some people didn't even understand, but I just loved him. I loved him for his sense of humor. And every Sunday when I would come to church, I would always go right over to him, get a big hug, and he always had something funny to say to me. And I loved him for that, and lots of other reasons too.
I'm his grandson, and one of the things I loved about him was you'd walk up to him and odds are he wouldn't call you by the right name first try, but just by looking at you, he knew that you mattered to him and that he mattered to you, and I just think that's special.
Who's next?
Well, the world would be a lesser place without my brother Jim. There was always a 5-year difference in our ages. He was older. Also shorter. I never let him forget that. Anyway, due to that difference, I can't say we were ever close friends. He was more of a mentor to me. I followed in his footsteps. Without him around, I would have never made it in life like as much as I did. I suppose there's a lifetime of memories. He played all the sports. I went to all his games. I remember going to a baseball game in the summer once. Somehow I got roped into being first base umpire. I called him out at first base. Boy, did he get mad. I ended up walking off the field going home. There's another time he gave me a hat for Christmas, a fedora. I thought that was weird. I never wore it. Odd, the things you remember. But anyway, I loved him and I will miss him.
First of all, I have to say that Jim was the fastest talking Bible class teacher I ever sat in a class with. He could cover more material in one class period than anybody else. Secondly, I have to say that Jim had been through his own cancer journey. He went through chemo and radiation and was such an enormous encouragement and support to me when I was going through it that it meant so much to me. He was just such a loving guy.
Well, I've known Dad almost my whole life. I never thought he talked fast, but maybe that's because I talk fast too. I remember he was always my coach. He was always out there on the field with me, everything that I did, which was great until I got to be about 14. Then I didn't want him out there anymore. And then about 16, he got incredibly stupid. He didn't understand anything in life. I knew it all, and he wouldn't listen to me at all. And he stayed that way till I got to be about 25 or so, and then somehow his intelligence came back. And I learned all along he was right, and I was actually the stupid one and should have listened, but never did. I say many times that if I could be half the man that Dad was, I'll be a success. So that's my goal. It's going to be hard without him. He suffered a lot at the end. So in the end, it was for the best. And maybe I'm a little biased, but I think Dad was on the express rocket train to heaven. So he's definitely in a better place. Other than my wife, I have a best friend I've had for 37 years now. And maybe it's a little blasphemous, but we've kind of changed the WWJD. We whenever we have something that we're really struggling, we would ask, what would James do? And we would constantly call each other. And whenever we have a struggle, we say, what would my dad do? Because he's the best man that either of us ever knew.
You need to stand. I'm only here so Joe will talk. When I think of Jim Hogan, I think of the word cheerleader. He has been my cheerleader, my personal cheerleader for, more than 45 years. And so we are very thankful for his life and for the way he has cheered us on. Along with Charlie Carmen was one of the first, he didn't come with Charlie, but came shortly after him to come and visit us in Belgium and cheer us on there and to always giving sage advice, and we're just so thankful. And I just want to, while I have the microphone before Jill takes over, I think of the words forward thinking. He was always way ahead of his time. When Rick Ashley did a series on Both and Church, he took those cassettes that we gave him and typed out every word of those lessons to be able to have them and study them and pass them on. It's a phenomenal approach to just really digging in to what is God saying about a particular topic. Always has inspired me in multiple ways.
Okay, you can hold it. I'll talk.
I'll hold it.
Well, and I'm not even going to say how many years I've known Jim, because then when Mark and I were figuring it out, it made me feel like really old.
And you don't look old.
Thanks. But I mean, Jim and Donna and Lloyd and Carolyn were our youth ministers before that ever even existed officially. We spent countless hours in Jim and Donna's home, and I even talked to Leanna this morning, and she said there wasn't a kinder man, a more godly man, that they opened their home to pour into our lives. And I just think about all the Bible classes we had, and Jim was such a passionate evangelist and soul winner. I remember those. We would get together in evenings when we were teens, and he would teach us how to go out and talk to people. And I remember Sue Tatko Kirkpatrick and I going and using the Jewel Miller film strip with a girl at Children's Home, Akron Children's Home. And I just remember thinking, how did he think we could do this? You know, and we got there. We actually drove ourselves to this really shady area in Akron. And we got out. I remember us praying before we went in, because we did not know what we were doing. And we went in, and we had our Bible study, and it was just amazing that he helped us be prepared for those opportunities. I remember when Sue and I got back in the car, we were giddy that we had actually done it and that the Spirit had provided the words that we needed. It was just, he stretched us beyond our comfort zones. He organized us to publish the Little Exhorter. The teens published their own little newspaper.
Okay, I want to know, how many remember the Little Exhorter?
You probably wrote it. But he just represents the heart of God. And he was such a wonderful mentor. And our lives are fuller because of knowing Jim.
I have to kind of read this, so I have to put it down. Is that okay if I come up here? Oh, I guess I don't need that.
You know, to hold it.
This is kind of hard. Hello? To do before my parents' tribute, but I thought I better do it before I lose it. So, the Hogan family has meant so much to me through my life. My parents, Jim and Donna, have been friends to what seems like always to me. We call each other our family. Jim and Donna and many here are like my uncle and my aunt, more than my own family, because I didn't grow up near my own family. But Jim and Donna, they took us in, and we are beloved friends. My memories of our family are some of my earliest. As a little girl, I couldn't have been more than 3 or 4. I have vivid memories of being a little bit afraid of Jim. So a lot of people didn't know that, but when we were always around the moms, because our moms were stay-at-home moms, and Jim would come home from work and he would call, "Woman, woman." And that scared me a little bit, because my dad didn't, he was kind of, "Oh, honey, you know." And so, but all of us laugh about that now, because we all know that Jim's a big teddy bear and he's the sweetest man. But one of my most vivid memories was when our families, if you can believe this, 8 of us, took a trip to Florida when I was about 5 or 6, and in the same car, 8 of us, in a station wagon, And we were all crammed in there, and Mike and I were fast friends. And we got the thing called the thing in the middle, which was the seat in between the back and the middle was the thing in the middle. I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of a station wagon, but it was this little tiny crease. It was a crevice, and it was hard, and we loved it. We loved it, Mike and I. And we would sing all the way to Florida. And what did we sing? And we all know all the words. Somebody done somebody wrong song. Yeah. Make me feel at home. I'm going to miss my baby. I'm going to miss my baby. Right? And I got a brand new pair of roller skates. You got a brand new key. Me and Mike. All the way. So we all know the songs. We all remember it. And we went to Florida and we stayed in the same camper. All eight of us. Pop up Jayco camper. And we, under the Webster's Dictionary, where it says closeness, the family trip to Florida, because we went through a lot. But some of my memories, too, go back for all those vacations that we had together, and there's such wonderful, wonderful memories for me. And Jim, in particular, wasn't the best singer. He just, we all know this about Jim, but he would sing with joy anyway, and I remember that so much. When I was a teenager, Jim was my high school Bible class teacher, Sunday school teacher. And I'll tell you what, I was a challenge to Jim. He loved me so much because I was like, you know, a child, his own child kind of. And he would always make me feel like my questions were okay. The hard questions, he didn't always have every answer for me. But he would take me and just love me and say, these hard questions are okay, Jenna. And he made me feel spiritually relevant and equal and respected. He was the first person to ever let me pray out loud in a Bible class. And it meant so much to me that Jim, he just made me feel like spiritually just this thing I never felt before. And then every class I could ever go to that was a Sunday school class, if Jim was teaching it, I was there. And I learned so much from him about angels and revelation and grace and love. And I got to spend some special time with Jim in the last couple months. And we sang together. We played ball together, held hands. And it was, I'll always remember that special time that we got to spend together. My heart is very heavy today with the loss of such a wonderful man. He's impacted my life so deeply. Our families have traveled through this life together. We've celebrated through the births of our children, our grandchildren, weddings, birthdays, vacations, and we're mourning together. Our friendship will last forever into eternity. I look forward to seeing him again with reunion and being together. And his legacy, and Donna, your legacy of love is just going to go on forever in our families, generation after generation. I love you so much.
Who's next?
I've had the good fortune of knowing him for nearly all my life. And here's what I remember about Jim. First and foremost, he was a very generous man with his time and his resources. You mentioned them being youth ministers. I remember as a kid going camping. I wasn't quite a teenager at the time, but going camping, and you know, they would host all that. I remember Jim and Donna would open up their home for the New Year's Eve teen parties forever. We spent quite a bit of time there, so that was great. And not only that, just one other incident. We heard how Jim maybe wasn't quite mechanically inclined to fix things. Yet one time, my grandfather, Howard Poole, there was a storm came through, blew the roof off, and many of the people in this room, as well as Jim, went over and fixed it. And that always stuck with me. Jim was fun to be around. As I mentioned, all the camping trips, there's a lot of families that went camping, the Loneys, the Hogans, the Carmans, the Morrisons. We would all go camping together, and it was quite a good time, fun. I really enjoyed it, and He would initiate, he would sit around the campfire singing, you know, out of tune, country songs, like you heard. But he would initiate, you know, the baseball games, you know, activities, and that was always great. And we heard he was quick-witted and kind of had a sense of humor. Just one quick story. One day we were having our dinner at the campground. We had corn on the cob, and he looked at my dad. And if you know my dad, he has a gap in his teeth. He says, most people, when they eat corn on the cob, you know, has to pick the kernels out. Jim has to pick the cob out, you know. That's something that, you know, just quick-witted. Lastly, he was a good Christian man. And you heard about, you know, he taught Revelations. And by the way, that class went on 18 months, and we went through it twice because he spoke so fast that we had to go through and review that. But one thing we'll always remember, every week he said, at the end, we win. Jim, you're the victor now.
I'm Ron Lothery. Janie and I moved to Cuyahoga Falls April 1st, 1966, to begin our ministry with this church. Don and Jim moved in October of that same year. So I remember very, very vividly their coming to become a part of our church family. Mark, I have to agree with you, brother, that you used the word cheerleader. I was thinking the word was encourager, sing. But for 50-plus years now, Jim Hogan has been my friend. He's been a brother in Christ. But he's been an encourager. The miles have separated us. We moved in 1973 from here. We've come back over the years, and we've seen Don and Jim at times, but distance has separated us. I just want to say from my perspective that Jim Hogan has been a pillar in this church for over half a century. This church is today what it is because of men like Jim Hogan. What a blessing he has been to the lives of so many people. And Jill, you said you couldn't remember when you were a young teenager. I have to say this publicly. Jill is so aggravating. I said to Mark, I said, what happened to us? Jill still looks like a teenager, church. She looks like she did when I was here preaching. Unbelievable. I just want to say, as a community of faith, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the sun did not set in the life of Jim Hogan. It was rising. Jim Hogan has graduated, folks. He has graduated from this life to live eternally with the Lord. The time of his death, he simply changed residences. The house that he had lived in was worn out. It was time to leave. He now lives in that house described by the Apostle Paul as a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So I simply want to encourage all of us today to cling to our hope and to be reassured that we're all going home. Jim is waiting for us.
I'm one of the people who apparently have known him the least amount of years here. I met Jim and Donna when our daughter Christy married their son Matt in Costa Rica, and so I'm sure they were a little leery about going down to meet their new daughter-in-law in Costa Rica, and we hadn't known Matt too long, so it was kind of a challenge wondering how this was going to work. And they showed up, and the first thing that Donna and Jim gave us was a little crystal ball with the world etched on it in a crystal hand of God. And that just touched my heart, because they were not just touching my heart, they were touching the world. They accepted our culture, they accepted the wedding as it was going to be, which was probably a challenge at that time because we have a lot of different customs. But they were open to whatever they could, so now they were friends and family, and I'm just so blessed to have had them in their life, and I couldn't say enough about them and our son-in-law, Matt, who is just phenomenal. I'm so blessed that Christy and has him and them in our lives. Thank you.
I've known Jim and Donna for 41 years, and Jim had his priorities straight in life. He loved God. He knew God. He walked with God. He talked with God, and it was so evident. He loved his best friend, Donna. He loved and was so proud of his children, daughters-in-laws, his grandchildren. He just took such great pride in them and talked about, you know, their maturity and just the different things they were involved in. I know how thrilled he was when he got to, you know, visit all of them. And as Shania talked about, you know, took her and Julie in. And I remember when Jim went through cancer, he had to take hormones, and he talked about the hot flashes, and he said, "Now I know what it's like to be a woman." And we would laugh about that. I think the only thing that I had a problem with Jim was when he taught Revelations. It's very, so many symbols and everything, and I just went up to him one day, and I said, "Jim, just give me the easy answer. Tell me what it's about." And he just kind of shrugged and said, "You know, you just don't know." And I wanted the answer, but he wouldn't give it. I'm going to miss seeing him standing in the vestibule leaning against the wall. And as Mary Sue said, he gave really good hugs. And you just knew you were special when you were in his presence. And just surround the family. And they're going to need us all for a while. He's a great man.
The main thing that Jim and I had in common was our mechanical ability. Mine on a scale of 1 to 10 would be about a -3. And I remember vividly when we were building this church building, I told the church, I said, "You leave the preaching to me, and you men go build the building." But I did come by every day when they, and I remember vividly, these beams going up and the roof going on, but I was not a part of that. I was smarter than Jim Hogan.
On behalf of Bobby and Greg Loney, I offer you their words. Proverbs says, "There is a friend that is closer than a brother." Jim, or Hoag, as we called him, was that kind of friend to us. Our lives became intertwined 54 years ago when God led two young couples to Akron, Ohio. Jim and Greg started careers at Goodyear that lasted 39 years, retiring within months of each other. We met at this church and formed an immediate friendship, having so much in common. We found that we were both struggling with infertility, and we followed their lead in applying for adoption. Within months, we were both blessed with baby boys, Mike and Jeff. Then, lo and behold, we were both blessed with surprise pregnancies, Jenna and Matt being born on the same day, 1 year apart. Our children grew up together, sharing holidays, birthdays, and many memorable camping trips with our wonderful group of church friends. We'll never forget a trip to Disney World with the Hogans, with five little kids in one station wagon and one Jayco camper. You've got to love each other to survive that. No surprise that our children have remained close friends, and now our grandchildren share a special bond. They are family. Even after retirement, we had many fun trips with Jim and Donna to the Rocky Mountains in Colorado, to Palm Springs, to Yosemite, to Seattle, and a wonderful cruise to Alaska. Jim was one of the most generous men we've ever known, always willing to help someone who needed a hand up. He loved this church, and he served it faithfully as an elder. Jim was always fun to be with, always upbeat, joking, and never a complainer. Even through years of cancer and to the very end, we never heard him complain. Many of us are fortunate to remember what a great Bible teacher Jim was, and many still have his well-researched books on Revelation and angels. You had to listen fast because he talked fast. Just weeks before he died, when he didn't remember much else, we talked with him about the last book of the Bible, and we were so thrilled to hear him remember that it was Revelation, written by John from the Isle of Patmos about heaven. We're so happy to think of our sweet friend Jim in heaven. He always said the main thing to remember from Revelation is that there is a happy ending.
We are Srini and Vasanti, and we have known Mr. Jim Hogan through our kids, Roshni and Sneha, who are best friends with Anne-Marie and John. We have not known Jim as well. Personally, we have not met him as much, but we sure know about him through our kids when they interact with John and Anne-Marie. And my remembrance about him, Mr. Jim Hogan, is that many, many years ago, when our daughter Roshni won an award in a competition, Mr. Jim Hogan came and told us, Roshni has very good genes in her. And those words have been with me forever. And that's been a great source of, I would say, encouragement and kind of, as someone said, cheerleader. Yes, you are surely a great cheerleader. Thank you.
I'd like to just simply say that Jim was a constant in our life since we moved here. I could just remember him always being involved in church, and I've been in many of his Bible classes, and it was just a blessing. And then we adopted our girls, and we don't live anywhere close to grandparents, and they've stepped up and became a grandparent to grandparents to my daughter Jenya in a time that she needed it. And when my father's dementia took over and that relationship was broken, he and Donna stepped up and filled the hole that was gaping in my daughter's life. And she has just grown to love him so much. And her friend Julia, there's many, many special memories. And I'm just so grateful that God sent our brother Jim and his dear wife, Donna, into my children's lives. And will be touching our lives forever. And we're very blessed. And I praise God for that.
Thank you. I want to thank the amazing man and his wife who let me into their family and their heart. A man who is no longer with us physically, but I know he always will be in spirit. Thank you, Jim Hogan, for your kindness and your love and understanding. He is and was my hero. His faith, his strength, his unconditional giving. I could not have gotten this far without you. You helped me on the days when I couldn't understand why God was sending me these trials. You never criticized me. You never judged me. You never corrected me without kindness and love. When I came up to meet him, I was told by Matt not to expect any hugs. He was not that kind of man. He met me, and the first thing he did was hug me. And I got hugs from him every single day I saw him. He was the best father-in-law I could ever have asked for. And I have the best mother-in-law I could have ever asked for. Thank you for always pushing me to be the best and yet being kind enough to know when I was hurting and supporting me as well as worrying all about me and our family. Thank you for listening and checking on me. I will always, always miss you. And I will always, always make sure that I live my life to make you proud. I cherish all the moments we shared. You are the man who inspired me to learn more about faith and peace. You taught me to laugh. You helped me understand that God is always with me and I am never alone. Thank you for such a wonderful gift. Thank you for being an amazing grandpa, a wonderful father, and a wonderful father-in-law. I will make sure to follow in your footsteps. I will miss you very much, but I know that a part of you is with me every single day. God bless you, Dad. I miss you.
Pants?
When I was in high school, Grandma and Grandpa used to drive me to dance all the time. And when Grandpa drove me, his driving was interesting. sometimes, and he knew that it like drove me up the wall. And so sometimes when we'd be on back roads, he would be talking and like slightly kind of like veering over. Obviously, like wasn't gonna hit anybody, but like slightly veering over to the other side of the road. And I would be like, Grandpa, like, stop, just go back to the other side of the road. And sometimes he would be like, oh, like this, and just go completely over to the other side of the road because he knew it would really tick me off. also, when he would drive me to dance, we had this thing, and I don't remember how it started now, but it was like this bag of candy. It was just like this plastic bag of candy, and he would always refill it. He would drive me, you guys, I went to dance like every day after school, so he would take me all the time. And it was like this plastic bag of candy. And I don't remember how it started, but he would always say, oh, Batman came and brought you candy. It doesn't make sense. Batman doesn't bring candy. I don't know where that came from. But he would just refill it. And so every week he'd be like, oh, Batman came and brought you more candy. And I mean, it was as much for me as it was for him, let's be honest. He would like eat the Butterfingers and the Paydays out and stuff like that. yeah, so those are just some of my best times. And we would talk about really weird stuff sometimes. I mean, I was 16, so sometimes I just like to sit there in silence and kind of regret that. But it was one day, I was so weird, but we were talking about death, and he was like, you know, I don't fear it. I fear that it'll hurt, but I don't fear anything that's going to come afterward. And now I just think, you know, he doesn't have to fear that part anymore. It's all over, so...
I'm Shannon Carpenter. We've been here at the Falls for, I don't know, 20 years or so now. And Jim made quite an impression on us. We were over at another couple's house for dinner, several couples there. And after we ate, we did a few get-to-know-you type games. And it was kind of like 20 questions. But one of the questions was, if you could pick another name, what name would you pick? And being a young couple, we thought about it seriously and went around the room, and it seemed like everyone else did too. And then it was Jim's turn. Jim said, Ramon. And he was quite funny, and that was my first getting to know Jim moment. But as the years went by, he left a different impression. Our oldest daughter, who's not here, was diagnosed with autism when she was young. And many times Jim said, you guys are doing such a good job raising her. I'm so proud of what you've done with her. So he was full of grace. And every time we would see him in the building, he would shake our hands. He would ask how we're doing. He would ask how Millie was doing. And he was full of love as well. So he left that impression. I'm going to try and learn to teach Bible classes and talk faster like him, but I'm not sure if I'll get there. But what a great man. Praise God on who he was, and that we'll all get to meet him again someday.
Would like to remind everybody that this is being recorded. So after the service, it will be on our podcast and on our website.
Stories of my dad. He was always kind of outspoken. Matt and I know that. Yes? There was one time that stuck in my mind for so long. For some reason, he always knew things before we did. And this one time, Maria and I had quietly found out that she was pregnant with Jonathan. But we hadn't said anything yet. So we were over with a group of people, and actually we were over at the Wright's house that evening. And so it was Dad's responsibility to go around and know who was who and introduce them. Well, he got to me, and he says, well, this is my son, this is my daughter-in-law, and I am waiting for grandchildren. And I thought, I'm going to bite my tongue because I'm not ready to tell you yet. So the night went on. The next morning, with us working at Goodyear together, it was about lunchtime. He comes to me, or actually I went down to him. The first thing I see is he was walking down from a meeting, and I'm looking at his feet. That morning, he dressed himself in the dark, had two different colored shoes on. I thought, oh, this is going to go well. We walked into his desk, and he started to apologize to me. He goes, I'm sorry, I said that I was waiting for grandchildren. And I said to him, I said, how did you know? And he looks at me and he goes, what do you mean? I said, well, we are pregnant. He goes, what? And I said, well, yeah, we're pregnant. And I'll never forget his face. It was just a face of joy. But I thought, how in the world did he know that? It was quite an amazing thing, and he knows a lot more today than he did just a week ago when he did die, and it's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Since we're all here making fun of Dad, I'll tell a couple stories. As quite a few people have said, Dad couldn't hammer a nail or screw a screw, but he didn't actually believe that. I remember Mike and I, and he were working in the basement doing something, I don't remember. And Mike suggested, well, why don't you do such and such? Dad said, no, it's the stupidest idea ever. So he's looking at it and kind of about Mike and I knew just to stand back and let him do his little thing and think. About 15 minutes later, he comes back. He says, you know, we should do this. And it was the exact same thing Mike said 15 minutes ago. So Mike and I knew, oh, good idea, Dad. That's great. I wish we would have thought of that. So we went ahead and did it Mike's way. And then they were talking about camping. Greg could drive a camper, and JD could drive a camper, and my dad unfortunately couldn't. We'd always try and back the camper up into the space, and Greg would get it on the first or second try, and JD almost got it on the first try every time, and then we'd all stand around and laugh at my dad and, you know, say, go left, and no, Dad, your other left, and then we'd probably let him do it for about 10 minutes, and then we finally just said, park the car, and then we all took the camper off the car and manually put it into the spot because it was just easier. So those are a couple things I remember about him. Gonna miss him, definitely. And I'd like to thank everyone here for telling some stories I hadn't heard before. And it makes me very proud to be a son.
One last shout out. Anybody else?
This will be the concluding prayer. That's good. This will be the concluding prayer, but after the prayer is over, just remain seated for a moment for some additional comments. Well, let's pray. And now to the God of all comfort, comfort those who mourn the loss of Jim Hogan and provide them with strength, increase their faith, and restore their spirit. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. In Christ we pray. Amen.
My grandpa Jim liked country music, and this song always brought a smile when he heard it. It was popular when he was coaching Little League, and many times he sang it with his players. He also sang this song with the Oak Ridge Boys in Branson, Missouri. We would like to play it for you now. Thank you.